You know, they decided, they ignored all the scientific, all the work by the commissions, all the independent scientists, and said, no, we think those guys are wrong. We think that the EMP that the sun would make is so low that that we have to do a few things. We can do it with what they call operational procedures.
Right.
You know, in other words, you know, when they get warning that a coronal mass ejection is coming and there's likely to be a geomagnetic storm on Earth, they can lower the amount of electricity that goes through. Maybe even go to a brownout, or even cause their own blackout. Go in the worst case, just turn the grid off. Okay, so there's no electricity flowing through it, and then hope that the EMP that comes in, you know, won't go so high that it'll burn anything out. You know, because there's a natural resistance. You know, it is true that when you turn off an electrical device, it's got less stress on it. And so it can take a little more stress because you've got to raise it up to its normal operating levels. So in effect, this is a way for them to say they've done something to protect the grid. It doesn't cost them anything, you know, because obviously it doesn't cost you anything. You have to pay for the guys who can turn the stuff on and off. They're there all the time, you know. And but that's just not realistic. It's been proven that. And that has been challenged. My task force and others have challenged the standard. I don't know if the U.S. FERC will listen to us or not. Another problem you've got with the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is they've operated in the dark so long that a phenomenon called regulatory capture has happened. And what that means, it's when an industry that's being regulated by the government decides that one way of getting government off their backs is to hire the people that work for that regulatory agency, and to hire their friends, and buddy up with them, and say, hey, why don't you come work for us?
But that they're not necessarily experts. They might not have that expertise to be involved in that kind of work.
Yeah, they may not be experts, but even if they are experts, you know, money can mean a lot, to some experts. And you know, money can go a long way to changing a person's mind about what constitutes a serious threat or not, you know. And but yeah, you're right. Mostly they're not experts. A lot of them are just political appointees, you know, that have landed on these commissions. And the fact of the matter is, you know, it's only recently that we've started regarding the electric grid as part of our national and homeland security. I mean, for decades, this thing has operated on its own without anybody caring about it. You know, it's only this recent discovery, this revelations about the nuclear EMP threat, the threat from the sun, the threat from cyber attacks and stuff like that, that people have realized only in the past few years that, gee, millions of people could die. And by the way, I think I haven't mentioned, but millions of people could die quite literally. I mean, the EMP commission on which I served estimated that if we had a nationwide blackout, a North American blackout lasting 1 year, up to 9 of 10 people could die from starvation, disease, and societal collapse. I mean, that's a civilization-ending kind of a thing, where 90% of the population, you know, could go away. A colleague of mine at one of your briefings yesterday actually challenged that as too optimistic, you know, and said, he suggested that the mortality would be over 90%. You may recall he used the analogy or the comparison of finding out what was the Aboriginal population back before Europeans brought modern agriculture and technology to North America, you know, going back to the Native American population. What was the population then? And he said it was between 3 to 10 million people, you know, and we've got in between Canada and the United States, you know, I think it's something like 360 million people living in North America right now, okay? You know, and that's a lot less than 90% survival. If the population would go down to 3 million or 10 million, that's more like 99% of the people dying off. Because from Tom Popick's point of view, that's what the natural carrying capability of the land would be. And I suppose if you wanted to be really pessimistic, you could argue that it would be less than that. Because that native Aboriginal population, the Native Americans, you know, who survived in North America before the agricultural revolution and all the rest, they were survivalists. They knew how to hunt and fish and live off the land. But the people, the urban dwellers, you know, the people who are dependent on our electronic civilization, if they were suddenly technology suddenly went away from them, you know, and they were put back into a pre-electronic society and had to live off the land. How would they do it? You know, I mean, most people don't know how to hunt and fish for survival purposes, how to purify water, how to defend themselves.
Most people would die. Those aren't skills that an average human being has.
And it's not like you would be inhabiting a pristine North American continent, you know, the way the Native Americans did, okay? It would be a North American continent polluted, you know, by exploded nuclear reactors that have spread radioactivity everywhere, by toxic gas clouds, by polluted streams and rivers, because you'd have backflows we found that one of the things that happens in the aftermath of a blackout is that the water purification plant backflow into the lakes and rivers, so that industrial wastes and hospital wastes and all the kinds of nastiness that goes into the sewers, you know, goes back into those lakes and rivers. We've already polluted the lakes and rivers, so they're not pristine anymore, and it would be dangerous to drink out of them right now under the best of circumstances, you know? But in the aftermath of an EMP where they get polluted with arsenic and chemical industrial wastes and things like that, it could be really fatal to do it. So one could be really, could raise the bar so high in terms of survival that you could argue that nobody would survive in the aftermath of that. But the official number from the Congressional EMP Commission, and having served on that commission, I'm a little surprised at the direction of the attack, because we've been criticized. I thought we would be criticized for overestimating how many people would die, okay? But instead, most of the criticism has been that we're too optimistic that 90% of the people would die.
Right.
You know?
It's very disturbing, in terms of that possibility. I want to ask you another question pertaining to FERC and the concerns that they have all of the control. Do you see the government having a possibility in terms of intervening at any point moving forward, considering the fact that the FERC Regulatory Commission is failing to provide any efficient reports, any documentation to protect citizens? Is there anything that the government can do to intervene further in order to prevent a situation where people would be left to die?
Yeah, absolutely. And we are doing, Washington does deserve great credit, because there are three legislative initiatives that I'm very hopeful will finally pass that would be giant steps towards solving this problem. You know, we our original plan, as I explained, through the SHIELD Act, was to solve this problem through the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission by giving them the power to tell the electric power industry to do the right thing. But then, as we worked this problem further, and we saw how weak the U.S. FERC is, not just because it lacks legislative authority, but we've been really disappointed in the commissioners themselves because of this phenomena of regulatory capture. And we began to suspect that even if we gave them the power, that they have been so beaten down by industry, and they're so used to being subordinate to industry, and perhaps corrupted by industry, by jobs and things of that sort, this rotating door between FERC and NERC that exists, that we decided to go bypass FERC and not trust them. So we have another bill called the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, and instead of going to FERC, it goes to the Department of Homeland Security. And basically what it does, it will require the Department of Homeland Security to establish a new national planning scenario. There are about 15 national planning scenarios that we have that are the basis for all federal, state, and local emergency planning, training, and resource allocation. And these range from a terrorist nuclear weapon detonated in a city to hurricanes and earthquakes and biological attacks. This would add a new national planning scenario, a 16th national planning scenario that focus on an EMP catastrophe. And so for the first time, you'd have on the radar screen of the Department of Homeland Security and all the federal, state, and local emergency planners and trainers, the fact that they would have to start preparing and training and spending resources to save the people from an EMP catastrophe. And so that goes past for, and it deals with all the critical infrastructures. Part of the legislation also is that it requires the Department of Homeland Security, DHS itself, to start looking at, well, how would we protect the electric grid and communications and the food supply and all the critical infrastructures we need, not just the electric grid, and to come up with plans. Now, unfortunately, they can't impose those plans on industry, but when DHS comes up with a cost-effective plan, it's going to be very hard politically for industry to say, well, we can't do it, it's too expensive, when we've done the plan for them. All you've got to do is this, and we might even be willing to pay for the plan through the government or give them the ability to raise rates or whatever's necessary. And it doesn't cost that much to implement the plan. So it makes it harder and harder for these guys to say no. Another legislative initiative, that we want to reestablish the Congressional EMP Commission. You know, because when it was around, we were making the most progress in getting the nation protected against EMP. This commission had the best brains in the free world, are leading experts and scientists on EMP, the guys who really knew what they were doing, and they were very aggressive in the use of their power. And so what we need is another watchdog back like that, that's willing to use subpoena powers it has to and drag these executives in front of the commission and put pressure on them to do the right thing, you know, and also to take a helpful attitude too. You know, if they really are confused and they don't know how to do it, well, then the commission can provide them with guidance, all right?
Right.
So we've got, two kick-ass pieces of legislation to go after these do-nothings to get them motivated to actually start doing something and to do the job for them if they're not going to do it themselves. You know, all they have to do, you know, if they're not willing to do their own homework, you know, we'll do their homework for them, and all they got to do is sign their name to it.
It'd almost be easier just to eliminate them completely and have other people take over in order to do the job for them, or just get rid of them and then have people who have the expertise and the knowledge required to do the work complete the necessary next steps to prevent these attacks from happening while also protecting the communities worldwide.
Yes. And I am not a socialist, okay? I don't believe in government taking over private industries, all right, as a matter of principle. Well, okay. I'm a Tea Party conservative Republican who doesn't trust big government. But you know, when you're talking about an aspect of our civilization, something that's critical to the survival of our civilization, I mean, I think even constitutional conservatives, it's right in the Constitution, at least in the U.S. Constitution. I'm sure it's someplace in the Canadian Constitution, someplace too. You know, that the chief role of government, the reason we have government, is to provide for the security of the people. You know, that's its job. And we didn't know, you know, up until a few years ago, how critical the electric grid was to the survival of the people. Now we know. And if these guys aren't willing to do the right thing to protect the people, you know, then I would be in favor of doing whatever's necessary, including nationalizing the damn electric power grid if that's necessary, and throwing these guys in jail too, by the way, because it's treason, their failure to act. Well, yeah, I will even say this. You know, if an EMP happens and millions of people die and only 10% of the population is left, I hope we can get our hands on those guys who were responsible for that.
If they're alive.
Okay? If they're alive. we'll have to make sure that they're among the victims, you know, because who caused this. But that probably won't be necessary. I think that these legislative initiatives, we're winning in the states. You know, we are winning at the federal level. And we're even winning them in the industry. You know, there are individual utilities, you know, who actually get it and are breaking ranks with the NERC, you know, and starting on their own to harden their own grid, you know, because they don't believe the NERC and they see what the NERC is doing is wrong, you know, this idea of taking no action. So even within the industry, there are individual utilities, privately owned utilities, that are saying, you know, we're going to do the right thing. We're not listening to you guys at NERC anymore, you know, because people are going to die if we don't do the right thing.